What up? This is Ludacris, and you're listening to CKUT.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
From Turtle Island to Palestine, occupation is a crime. Free, free Palestine! You're listening to Radio Free Palestine.
Welcome everyone, you are listening to Under the Olive Tree, the Palestine Solidarity Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. Over the past 3 months, artists, writers, and other cultural workers in the United States and Europe have faced a backlash after expressing solidarity for Palestine as Israel has continued its relentless assault on Gaza. Talks and performances have been canceled, artworks deinstalled, exhibits removed, and livelihoods threatened. Today we speak with two Palestinian-American artists. One was canceled by her own alma mater, Indiana University. The other was canceled in Berlin. We begin with Samia Halabi, a renowned Palestinian visual artist, activist, educator, and scholar. Samia Halabi's first U.S. retrospective, which had taken 3 years to organize, was abruptly canceled by Indiana University's Ashkenazi Museum of Art over her criticism of Israel's bombardment of Gaza, which she's described as a genocide. Before we speak with Samia about what happened, let's turn to a short documentary about her life and work by Palestinian-Jordanian filmmaker Munir Atalla. This is Samia talking about moving with her family to the United States as a teenager from Palestine.
In 1951, my father and mother had come to the decision that it was safer to bring their family up in the U.S. I did not want to come. I was 14 and it was to high school. I couldn't decide between the sciences. It was my mother who finally said, "You always loved art, why don't you study art?" Gained tenure at Indiana University and decided that really I wanted to be in New York, but it's hard to just pick up and have no money and come to New York, a city I don't know anybody or anything in. I moved in 76. I continued trying to get a gallery for years. It was total rejection. In this world, people don't see, if you're Palestinian, don't see what you make. They see you. And they don't like us Palestinians.
This is another clip of Samia talking about the process of creating her art and how abstraction can result from a new way of seeing.
I work on 2, 3, sometimes 4 or 5 paintings at the same time. When I enter, I get going. Then the paintings begin to permeate my consciousness. The paintings do not arise out of feelings. They arise out of thinking. And I'm very scientific in the way I think and plan. But when I do them, I trust my intuitions.
Fulfilling every whim that comes along.
Balancing back and forth between what I intuit is right and what I want to do. And which one wins is hard to tell. When a painting is going badly, I'm feeling badly. But not because my feeling is in the painting. I'm reacting to frustration. But when it's going well, I'm very happy because I've captured something I've wanted to capture. As I was saying about Palestine, something remains that I almost feel it with my hands. I can make it. I put it in a painting. But it's not a photographic image. It's what remains visually in memory. It's something palpable and real. What your iPhone or cell phone is telling you when you take a picture is only a teeny slice of what is in front of it when you take the picture. It's an image of a fragment of time, of reality. But a new abstraction can result from a new way of seeing.
An excerpt of Samia Halabi, a video portrait, a short documentary about the Palestinian-American artist's life and work. Samia Halabi's paintings are in the permanent collections of the Guggenheim Museum in New York, the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., and the Art Institute of Chicago. And Samia joins us today in New York. We welcome you to Democracy Now! We've told a bit of the story, but you are one of the most prestigious Palestinian-American artists in these permanent art collections around the country. You were doing this life retrospective at your alma mater, Indiana University, worked on it for 3 years, Samia. Can you tell us what happened right before it was to open?
Thank you, Amy. I'm really pleased to be with you and to tell my story and tell the story of what happened, which is very important also to the community in Bloomington and Indiana. Just immediately before, after a lot of work preparing, first I heard a little rumble that someone was paying attention to the fact that I'm Palestinian. Other than that, I had expected, being an alumna and a one-time professor who had been awarded tenure, to be somewhat immune, because I knew the atmosphere in the country. And so the sudden cancellation came as a surprise. It was amazing to know that they would go ahead and act in this way when a catalog that's 1 inch thick and hardcover had been printed and delivered. Plans for the opening were being made. The artwork was picked up by the shippers. Everything was done in so beautifully, in excellent museum fashion, that suddenly, after the few days after the pickup of the paintings, I hear a very brief notice, a two-sentence letter saying the show is canceled and the art will be returned to me. I wrote two letters suggesting in very friendly terms that they reverse this decision, but I have not heard a word back from them. And, you know, Amy, this was a twin retrospective committed to my relationship to the Midwest. The Midwest had been a place where I had felt was my second home. I really enjoyed my education there. I arrived in the U.S. at age 14. I'm 87 now. And I remember the University of Cincinnati with a great deal of affection for the great education we received there. I remember it being an atmosphere that was very open and radical. My teachers were all inspired by the resistant painters of the time, like Benchan. They were in admiration of the industrial union movement. The Great Depression was still in people's memory, and the professors were all very enlightened and advanced and talked a lot about academic freedom. My feeling is I wished I could bring that batch of attitudes on those professors to modern, to contemporary American education. Maybe I'm going on too long, Amy, but my feeling towards what happened to me is that the administration has lost sight of their responsibility to the community, to the students who are there. They're trying to stop students from moving forward with thinking, with their creative process politically. They're being more responsible to pronouncements from the government and from threats, perhaps, from parts of the government, but not at all responsible. A division is taking place in their position of being having administrative power, but no responsibility to the real community. I feel the students, the repression of the students right now in the country who are the most advanced, the new partnership between the young Palestinians and all they're doing and the young Jews who and all that they are doing. They're so disciplined and determined and clear thinking. I'm really in admiration for them, and I think this act is suspension, of cancellation, is as much against them as it is against me and the curator of the show. We mustn't forget about the curator, a curator beginning their career who to whom this was a very important show, Elliot Reichert, who was magnificent in his, as was all the staff at the museum.
Yerushalayim Yevli!
Un, deux, trois, mes amis. Écoutez, écoutez.
Le cash, ça change le monde.
En est,
j'ai une histoire à raconter.
Un million, qu'est-ce que
tu dis? Écoute
ça. Un million.
Le cash a fait de toi ce que tu voulais. Mais le voulais-tu vraiment? Tout a une fée et un jour tu le subiras. On dirait que c'est quand tout va mal que tu laisses tomber. Mes frères qui aujourd'hui me le fait tomber dans sa pitié. Avec qui puis toujours en lutte après les stéréotypes. Quel est ton type? Ceux qui connaissent toujours à la bande ton hip. Qu'est-ce que tu disais à propos de cash? Réplique faut comme avec le H. Il faut
avec le crash dans la hache.
Ton lit est comme le cinéma, les murs en ont une espace. Combien de temps as-tu perdu pour avoir eu un orgasme? Je réplique, j'ai de la misère à croire. Qu'il y a d'autres choses d'un sort à faire à bord dans le noir. Et d'être salope à temps partiel à se faire fourrer. Je sais que ça paraît pas pour toi mais les preuves sont de mon côté. Qui a perdu ses amis, qui est aujourd'hui seul? Il te reste le cas, j'oubliais, t'aimerais que je ferme ma gueule.
Je rêve de rêve comme toi depuis ma tendre enfance. Puis toi tu me plaques là pour un gars de la France.
Fuck that!
T'as fini de me surprendre. Quand tout a débuté tu te rappelles. T'étais en bas des choses déjà prêt à aller au ciel.
Et je t'ai reconstruit à la hauteur d'un gratte-ciel.
Après tu me lances en bas du 20e. Ça j'ai toujours pas compris mais où est passée la flamme qui m'allumait, qui m'éclairait le chemin de la vie.
C'est que j'entendais le nom quand soufflait le vent. Je sais que j'ai pas le plus brillant mais j'ai toujours été un des plus compétents.
Pourquoi avoir oublié aussi rapidement les bons moments passés à mes côtés? Comment tout ça a pu arrêter? Du jour au lendemain tu me présentes comme un gamin bleu petit gamin. Mon mental pire qu'une journée trop matinale. Arrête de jouer la femme fatale. Tout le monde sait que ta ville natale est Montréal.
Photogénique, j'avais gagné là.